And now here is part two of our Dan Haskett interview.
I just remember Brad getting in trouble running up and down the hall saying, "This place is screwed, this place is screwed." And Ed Hansen firing him and then rehiring him. It was bizarre.
It was, for me, it was a very, very rough experience because I don't do well in political atmospheres.
Oh, okay.
And, which I know that's every studio on earth, but this, but then that's why I spend most of my career freelance, you know.
Away from the shells that are flying.
Yeah.
So did you leave Disney at that point? So what did you leave, about 1979 or 80?
78.
78? Okay, yeah. You left in 78, but then you were back again.
10 years later.
Was it? Okay, it was 10 years later. So what did you do? We'll go back to your Disney career, but what did you do in the, you went back east again, didn't you?
Went back east, and I went, Tom Cito and I were working together for a bit on a TV special called Animal Olympics.
Oh, yeah, that was with Lisberger, Steve Lisberger.
Mm-hmm.
And Croyer was on that.
Yep, Croyer was on it, and Brad was on it, and quite a few folks. And after that, Tom and I went up to Nelvana in 79. And I was there for, not long, about 7 months. I guess 7 months.
Was Tom there longer? Because I know...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was up there for a while. I went through a winter with Sue up there.
Yeah, he stayed to... We were both hired to work on the... Okay, I'm trying to remember. I think ultimately we were both hired to work on Rock and Rule.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on it... I think I was on it first as a character designer. And then I ended up animating because they needed help in with the commercials and the TV specials they were doing.
So right.
We both were animating on those.
So what characters were you designing and animating?
For Rock and Rule, that was at the, the very beginning. So I had a shot at the main characters and just basically the treatment of it,
mm-hmm.
the overall design treatment, because they weren't sure at that point exactly what direction they wanted to go in.
Hmm.
So I did a lot of very cartoony looking stuff, which got thrown out in favor of a more, quote unquote realistic approach.
Right. More tied down to the realistic school. Mm. Okay, so then you leave Nevada. Then you go to New York after that, right? Or did you come back to California?
Let's see. I bounced back and forth. I went back to California, actually.
You being back at the studio in the... Weren't you there in the early 80s? Cause
at Disney?
At Disney?
No.
Not at all?
Mm-mm. I was at a little studio called Rick Reinert Productions.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He did mainly commercials, public service.
And he also did Winnie the Pooh subcontract.
Right, that was the thing. That was the Disney connection. He did a picture for Walt Disney Educational Media. That was called Winnie the Pooh Discovers the Seasons. So I animated on that.
Did you animate on Winnie the Pooh in a Day for Eeyore? Because that was his...
Yeah, just a teeny little bit on that.
Because Nancy Beeman worked on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know this, but, Pete Young... sort of spearheaded it and recruited me. I was on it. I worked on the first half.
Oh.
And he recruited Ron Clements. Ron Clements was the other artist that he and Pete were basically went through the whole thing, and the storyboards were real good. And then Ron never had a credit on it because Ron was very upset when they farmed it out to Reiner.
Mm.
He wanted it to be done in the studio.
Right.
So I remember this vividly, he was so upset. He said, you've got to take my name off of this. So his name is not on the credits because he was so upset that they farmed it out to another studio that he had his name taken off. I didn't have that philosophy. I said, if I deserve a credit, I want a credit. But yeah, and it was a nice little story, but that was a story of that. So, okay, so you worked for Reinert, and then what?
Well, I got a little tired of animation at that point because I had a lot of disappointments along the way, not the least of which was being at Disney when they were in the middle of that fracas, you know, with what direction the studio was going to go in, and, you know, Don leaving to set up his own shop and throwing things into a panic.
Yeah, oh yeah, I remember all that.
Yeah. So I just got a little tired of it at that point. I said, I got to find something else. And Chuck Harvey, you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Harvey called me up and told me that there was an opening in New York at Disney merchandise, you know, now consumer products. And, would I be interested in getting in touch with them? So I did. And I had one of the best jobs I ever had.
Wow.
I went back to New York, and I was working on Disney merchandise for 2 years. I was a senior artist there. And I had a ball. I worked on about 200 jobs there. Like anything you could slap a Disney character on. But it was fun because I was doing models for sculptors, you know. I was learning how to design toys, and I got to work in color again with, you know, and doing graphics. I did packaging. I did graphics. I did a lot of stuff, come to think of it.
Sounds like a lot of stuff. What brought that to an end?
Well, after a while, I guess I just got tired of drawing Mickey because I just... You get... The thing of it was, I never lost my love for animation. I just really got tired of the business. But while I was there, while I was at Disney Consumer Products, I started taking on freelance again.
So you're animating on the side?
On the side, after a while. Yeah, I had to get over it for a bit, and then I went back to animating on commercials. But I also started animating. I also got my first gig on Sesame Street.
Oh, Sesame Street. So were you animating for vignettes on Sesame Street? Or?
Yeah, I was producing. I was producing, writing, directing, designing, and animating these
things. You were the one-man band.
Yeah, and it was fun. It really was. I mean, Sesame Street, as you know, was a godsend for American animators all together, especially on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Because they needed so much stuff.
Yeah.
That everybody was doing it. You know, if you had a real studio, you tried to get a whole block of stuff, you know, of spots to do. But it was great for the independents as well, you know, because they were looking for, you know, any kind of style was fair game.
Yeah.
You know? And so everybody from, you know, abstract animators to stop motion people to Disney types to everybody was doing it. God, Filmation did a bunch.
Wow.
Commercial houses in LA and New York, like Film Fair. Was around then in those days? Stars and Stripes.
So how long were you designing and producing and animating for Sesame Street? That went on for two or three years?
Yeah, I did five of them. I did five spots over about 4 years.
Time. Oh, okay. And you're headquartered on the East Coast through this whole time?
Yeah. Let me think about that. I'm trying to recall. Because I was bouncing back and forth a lot. Yeah, I did all the Sesames in New York. That's right. So that was between, 83 and 87. I was on the Smurfs at Hanna-Barbera for a while doing storyboard, which was, I think, my first professional gig just doing storyboard. That's cool. Because I'd done boards when I was directing. But this was the first time doing it for a TV series.
Right.
And then the year ended with The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
I came on to that because of David Silverman.
Oh, okay.
And
that was early on.
Yeah, this was in 89.
So they were still doing the vignettes probably at that time, or just starting the series?
They were just starting the series. They had, they were switched over to the series. And my job was to soften Matt Groening's designs on that so that, there would be more, what's the word I'm looking for?
More workable?
More workable, and I hesitate to say cuter, but that's what, something that you could watch for a half hour.
Right, oh,
because
sure.
Because
yeah.
I remember when they were doing them for the Tracy Ullman show, people called them the Monster Family.
Oh, yeah, well, Matt's got his style, so.
Yeah, so I had to tone them down a little bit, so that's what I did,
mm-hmm.
Along with David Silverman. We both, I think he concentrated on Bart mm-hmm. and Homer, as I recall, and I did the rest, and I also ended up designing Moe and Barney.
Oh, okay.
And some
so
of Bart's.
So you were in at the beginning of that mm-hmm. franchise.
Yeah.
And there's some people who were there that are still there.
Yeah, I mean, and what was funny is that was an odd experience for me too, because in order to do Matt's style, I had to kind of forget everything I had learned from that I had learned about drawing, I had done all the the Disney thing and all that, entirely different ball game, because at one time Matt, if I remember correctly, Matt was quoted as saying that he still drew the same way he did in eighth grade.
Well, I can see where that's true.
Yeah. So I had to kind of forget what I had learned about drawing, and that made me a little nuts,
Well, whatever you did has endured because the show's still on.
That's the damnedest thing about it, because that was the only thing I won an award for. I got an Emmy citation for that.
Oh my God! Well, that's great. So how long are you with The Simpsons?
Oh, not long at all.
Six months?
I'm trying to remember. I can't even remember. It wasn't long.
And then after The Simpsons, you went back east again, or did you stay out here?
I went back east, lived in Brooklyn. And then what happened? About a year later, I got an offer that I couldn't refuse to come out to Warner's here's a little story. When I was in New York in 87, I met an executive at Warner named Steve Green.
Yeah.
Who had an idea, I assumed it was his idea, for a show of the Looney Tunes characters as kids.
Oh, okay, Tiny Toons.
Yeah, and he called it Tiny Toons, T-U-N-E-S, like Looney Tunes. So I did a bunch of designs for it. And as I recall, I didn't seem to go anywhere until a few years later I find out that they're doing a Tiny Toons, T-O-O-N-S, with Steven Spielberg attached to it. Oh, how interesting. So
it shows up somewhere else.
Yeah. So, 3 years after I had done that initial bunch of designs, I find out that the project has shifted from New York to Los Angeles, and that Spielberg is attached to it now, and he wants to make the characters his own. You know, so now instead of being Bugs Bunny as a kid, we now have Buster Bunny, who is like the kid who's always like being mentored by Bugs.
Yeah. So popular series, still runs. Mm-hmm. They never go away.
So I was a character designer on that and on Animaniacs, and also worked on something called Tasmania.
Oh yeah. Those were all very popular shows through the middle 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So you came back out here to work on those?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I stayed out here for about 10 years.
Wow.
Which, yeah, that's good for me. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I remember talking to different directors. Oh, Dan, yeah, he's really, really good. But, you know, he never wants to stay around. He wants to go back to New York. And then he gets tired of New York and comes back out here. And then he...
Well, it wasn't so much getting tired of New York. It's just that, you know...
There's no work
back
there.
All the work is here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, New York is my hometown. I still love it. And, I love living there. Absolutely adore it.
So if you could, you'd be headquartered in New York.
Yeah, probably. Except now I think my wife has gotten used to L.A., but we both miss New York. We're both New Yorkers.
Sure, absolutely.
We both miss home. So, you know, if I could have a place on both coasts, that would be absolutely ideal. Because my wife can no longer take New York winters except at Christmas.
Yeah, well, you'd fall in for a week and then leave, you know?
Yeah.
The snow's great for a week.
Yeah.
So, okay, so now you're at Warner Brothers, and then so what happens after Warner Brothers?
Warner's, okay, that ended. But during that time, I got to know Ruth Clampett. And she took me on another journey into gallery cells. Because at the time, she was doing them for her father's company. You know, she was doing Beanie and Cecil.
Yeah, yeah.
And she eventually got a contract, I think it was a contract, or some agreement from Warner Brothers to do gallery cells of the pictures that he had done at Warner's back in the 40s.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of work for her. I did a lot of, what would you call it? Where's my vocabulary? I had to redo.
Reimagine.
Stills. Yeah. I had to take, parts of pictures that were stuff that was non-existent, like model sheets that had long since been destroyed or thrown away or whatever. They did a slate of model sheet cells.
Yeah.
And I did a bunch of those. I did like frame blow-ups, so to speak, of from her father's cartoons.
Yeah.
Including some of the black and white stuff, like, you know, the Porky and the Dodo and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I did quite a bit of stuff. And then Ruth moved into supervising the studio stores, Warner Brothers studio stores merchandise on that side. So I did...
So you're sort of back in merchandising like you were
right.
At Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I did that for quite a while. I think it was about 10 years.
So how did you find your way back out here to Warner Brothers once again? And you've been here for quite... You were in the area the whole time. You've been out here for 10 years.
I was out here from the end of 1990 to the beginning of 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2000, I said, I want to go home. So we went back to New York, and I was working at MTV.
Oh, okay.
And I was on a show called Spy Groove, which I don't know if the show went anywhere. I saw it on YouTube a while back.
Oh, went somewhere.
But, yeah. But that was fun because I got to meet a lot of new people. And I got to hook up with some folks I hadn't seen since Raggedy Ann.
Nobody ever leaves.
Nah, I mean, I was working, there was a fellow there named Rudy Tomaselli, who I had worked for back in the 70s. When he and his then business partner were going to animate Prince Valiant. And I was working for them. They wanted me to redesign Prince Valiant for animation. Because, you know, this was this very, you know, ultra-realistic...
I remember the comic strip. Stuff. That was a fairly ornate comic strip for its time.
Yeah. So, I mean, it had to be, you know, radically simplified for TV animation. You know. But, so I, you know, caught up with people like him. But I also met a fellow there named Don Pointer.
Yeah.
Who was doing layout there. And we hit it off because we both liked the same music. You know, listening to, you know, Nat King Cole and whatnot. And eventually, I think he and... did you ever know Doug Crane?
Know the name. Don't know him.
Okay. I met Doug on Raggedy Ann. He had been on the New York scene since the end of Terry Toons. That's where he started, was it? He got to Terry Toons just when Paul Terry was selling the studio.
I was in the middle 50s.
Yeah. And Don Pointer and Doug Crane were, I think they were both teaching at the School of Visual Arts at that time.
Yeah.
Or at least one of them was. And thanks to them and to Howard Beckerman, who I had worked for, I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah, I know him, but I mean, all these people I know of, but I don't know them.
Okay. But in getting back, in meeting Don and seeing Doug again, and getting back in touch with Howard, because I had worked, I had animated for Howard freelance while I was on Raggedy Ann. And through that connection, I got to come to SVA and do a little lecturing.
SVA is?
School of Visual Arts.
School of Visual Arts.
Yeah. And that was a lot of fun. I hadn't really done a lot of that. I had done some lecturing at my old high school at Art and Design.
Yeah.
Over the years. But this was my first time at a college. And it was a lot of fun.
Wow.
And it led ultimately to my doing a little mini workshop there in 2009 on character design.
Oh, good.
Was a blast. I had a great time. And I had a bunch of great kids. So
I have two sort of wrap-up questions. And
okay.
The two wrap-up questions are, what would you have as your five favorite animated films, either ones you worked on or didn't work on, or I asked this of Ruben, but your five favorite animated...
You mean like feature films?
Yeah, feature. Your five favorite animated feature films.
Okay.
Current, old, wherever they are.
Oh, there was so many. Okay, I would have to say Pinocchio.
Pinocchio. It's just that was Ruben's top.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be a continuing theme.
I think what it is just that film just hits boys right over the head. I think that's what that's what it is. That film just plain hits little boys right over the head, and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
But Pinocchio, Dumbo. 101 Dalmatians.
101 Dalmatians.
Fantasia. And now let's see. I have to break the Disney hold here.
Okay. For number five.
There are others. Oh, that's a tough one. Because, God, there are so many.
Anastasia.
Well, I tell you, I have a sentimental favorite, which is Hoppity Goes to Town.
Oh, yeah.
I love that film, I guess just because it's a New York animated feature.
And God, it was a film that sank the Flashers.
Yep.
Because Paramount just didn't... You know, I've never seen that all the way through. I've seen Gulliver's Travels, which I like quite a bit. I think it has a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. You know, the Flashers have a whole different energy and a whole different kind of approach to animation than Disney, which I always found kind of charming.
Yeah.
You know, the Popeyes that they did, definitely. And the Supermans, and I just think that they were a wonderful animation team, and, you know, it's too bad that they're sort of forgotten because they were the great rivals in the 30s, but Hoppity Goes to Town. And the last question is, so you're presently working here at Warner Brothers Animation, so what are you doing?
I am a character designer, and I am doing Scooby-Doo and Tom and Jerry. So I am on the cartoony stuff as opposed to the DC Comics.
And you prefer the cartoony stuff?
Yes.
Okay. I think that do it. Is there any other pearls of wisdom that you've learned from your... you've been at it. When I think about it, you've been at it for 41 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time. A lot longer than me.
So,
but have you enjoyed the industry overall? Or
I love the art form. I have great problems with the industry.
And the politics. And
you
the,
know, yeah, I have great problems with it, unfortunately. I would love, I think, two things I would love to see happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see animation artists really get how important they are and how amazing their skills are.
Yeah.
Because they don't seem to fully realize the wonder of what they can do.
Yeah.
And that's galled me for, you know, nearly 40 years.
Yeah. Well, I think it's true. I mean, what I've observed is that the animation artists are generally underloved in the industry and underappreciated. And that's been pretty much true the whole time I've been in it.
Well, we also, you know, we underappreciate ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like,
my God, how many people on this planet can do what we do?
Not many very successfully.
It doesn't seem to have sunk in at all, you know?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. That's been my observation as well. Well, I'm going to wrap this up and turn off the machine.
Okay.